It's Your Money, and I'm joined by my coach and mentor, Mark Mattson, who's got a new book out, Main Street Money, and a national public broadcast tour, if you will, so to speak, I guess. And he's on a multi-city bus tour, left Manhattan. I guess you did some stuff in Manhattan the last couple days, right?
Oh, yeah. We had great seminars. We did Man on the Street
interviews. Tell me about the Man on the Street. I'm curious. How'd that work out?
It worked out great. It was a little bit harder than I thought because people didn't really want to talk as much as I thought they did. But then we really kind of got into a groove. We actually went down to Wall Street. Right there by the Bull, uh-huh. and then interviewed people, and we had the bus down there, the Main Street Money bus, and it was crazy.
What were the responses? What kind of stuff did you get back from people?
I mean, well, a lot of people had already given up on Wall Street. I mean, even though they lived right next to it, they had given up. They were frustrated with commissions. They were frustrated. They were really feeling ripped off because Wall Street had, just speculated and gambled the money away. Some people had lost their jobs that were on Wall Street because they were really victims of the higher-ups in Wall Street. So it was kind of somber, actually, when we were down there. So America's kind of hurting still.
Right.
But I think investors need to know, to have hope and understand hope isn't, when things are really hot, like when the real estate market was huge and economy stocks were making double-digit returns, everybody wanted to be optimistic. I think, and it doesn't take any courage or insight or optimism to be positive during those periods of time. But I think that's what America is really lacking right now is the idea that, and I remember going back to Jimmy Carter, when things were bad during Carter, you had massive inflation, you had oil prices, and people were actually giving out little coupons to restrict getting gas.
I remember gas lines. I remember them. They were bad.
Gas lines. So, I mean, we've been through bad things before, but then, Reagan came along and you had some conservatism and you had lower taxes, government, crushed the Soviet Union, Berlin Wall came down. So good things can happen. And I think Americans need to remember that, too.
Well, I'm an eternal optimist, so, I'm like that. I know you are as well. We believe in abundance. That's our whole message. What's interesting to me, though, is that you're right. If I could get to make an example just politically, when I was a kid, I couldn't get a job when I got out of high school because of the economic climate at that point. And what was interesting, it was the Carter years, and I remember the day that Reagan got inaugurated. I was in the Navy. I just joined the military. And they let the hostages go that day. I don't know if you remember this, but the Iranian hostage, squadron had gone over to save those guys. That was part of what we did in the military.
Wow.
And what's interesting...
You were the first SEAL Team 6 then.
Well, we weren't SEALs, but air crewmen, flying the helicopters, yeah. But what happened was, what's interesting is he was selling a message of scarcity. Carter, and I don't want to get into politics other than I'm fiscally conservative.
For all, dude, you know, everyone wants to listen. Everybody's missing Rush right now. You should get into some politics. Everybody wants their shot of, go for it.
Well, I'm always
hammer them, Paul.
I'm always saying to people, look, as a financial advisor, would you want me to be anything but fiscally conservative? I mean, socially, I could be a dope smoking hippie for all you care, but as it relates to your money, you want to know I'm fiscally conservative, So it's interesting that everybody's fiscally conservative when it comes to their money.
Yeah, well, and everybody, it's really ironic that you'll see liberals who actually invest their money in the stock market.
Right.
But if you were really liberal, why would you ever do that? Because then you're trying to invest in capitalism. You need to make up your mind. Do you believe in capitalism or do you believe in communism? Choose.
Right, right.
Once and for all.
Right, in or out. But the fact that
everybody wants the benefits of capitalism.
Right.
They want the cell phones. They want the technology. They want the jobs. But the liberals want to... act like socialism works, but they want all the benefits of capitalism.
Well, I don't want to go too deep
into this. I'm going to, Paul. You're not holding me back. You can't have your cake and eat it, too.
Well, it boils down to this. We've got it. You're right, Mark. We've got a victim mentality in this country right now. And, it's a victim mentality. And I've always wondered who's born at the same time you are that's yoked with the responsibility of providing the entitlements you feel as a victim you're due. And that, to me, is what's skewed in the whole message. You go to work and you get paid. You don't go to work, you don't get paid. I tell my kids, where are you going? I'm going to work. I want you to stay home. Well, you want to be outside with a cup in your hand? I don't think so. So anyway, we're getting off on a tangent of capitalism because we're big about entrepreneurism. We believe in solving problems.
Well, that's where if you look around and you see everything you see, the cars, the street signs, the pavement on the street, everything that you see around you is a result of capitalism. Capitalism creates wealth. And whether it's a company or whether it's a government that has negative cash flow, which our government does, severely negative cash flow, destroys capital and destroys wealth creation. So if I had a company and I consistently borrowed more than I created, I'm destroying the economy. Well, that's what the government's doing. It's destroying capital. It's pushing out private capital, going into government bonds. And what you have to do as an investor is you have to understand that the returns are going to come from capital markets all over the world, not just here in the United States. You need 45 countries all over the planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting when you start a step beyond that is this concept of fiat money. You know, Nixon took us off the gold standard, right? And since then, there hasn't been the standard of gold, but it's become more fiat money. And that's part of the concern for people that are more fiscally conservative is the fact that they keep printing the money. You know, how are we going to catch up? But capitalism, even though they're doing it, they haven't slowed down capitalism, have they? I mean, these companies are sitting on, look at Apple, what, $100 billion of cash, Facebook, $4 billion, with nothing to spend it on, right?
Yeah, there are literally trillions of dollars on the sideline. That eventually will come back into
what's
the
holding
markets.
It up, Mark? What's holding up the fact
I'll
that
I'll tell you
companies-
what's holding it up. What's holding it up is the liberal regime that we have in office.
Is it politically?
Yeah, because capitalists, I'm a capitalist. I employ 40 people.
Right.
You know, I work for 300 advisors all over the country and 15,000 investors all over the country. And I can tell you that entrepreneurs are not going to risk capital, try to grow their companies, put money in extra employees, extra equipment, when they're sitting there watching their personal taxes threaten to get, you know, massively increased. I mean, if you make 200, if you're an entrepreneur, you're making a couple hundred thousand a year, you've got employees, you're taking tons of risk, you're providing health care, and you're sitting there wondering, wow, how much of this massive deficit are they going to push down my throat as a capitalist?
Right.
And so until we get off of this mentality that we have massive deficits, until we get out of this mentality that we're going to tax and eat the rich, the entrepreneurs who create the jobs aren't going to take as much risk, and it's going to take the small business person to get us off of this 8% unemployment back down to where we need to be, 3 or 4%.
And right. So it's amazing. Well, there's no safety net for that group of entrepreneurs. And, you know, the younger people are being taught it's a dirty thing to be a business owner.
Yeah, because
and entrepreneur.
You're a greedy one percenter. Don't you know that?
I don't see how that message helps.
You know, it doesn't. It hurts. And the reality is, putting this perspective for the young people out there, is that we're all, if you live in this country and you're on welfare, you are still a one percenter. Because if you expand your view to the rest of the whole world, you are at the very top echelon. The average income globally is about $6,000 a year. In China, the average income is $2,000 a year. You are a one percenter.
You mean we've already hit the lottery by being an American? Is
yeah,
that what you're saying?
If you draw breath in America, you are a one percenter. So stop it. Just stop pointing the finger at everybody else. And the reality is, if we went total communism, socialism, we took all the money in the world and divided it up and gave an equal portion to everybody, that would be $38,000 per person. So when people talk about, you know, redistributing wealth and benefits, they're talking about benefits for them.
Right.
They're not talking about benefits for everybody. Nobody.
By the way, there's an old study back in the 70s that Stanford did for 20 years where they did a wealth distribution study. Have you heard about this? They distributed the wealth mathematically, nationally.
Right.
And what they found within 5 years, it was back in the 5% of the people that originally.
Right,
and
right.
And it just goes to show that entrepreneurs and free enterprise does work in America. And if you understand the rules of how to make it work, you can be very successful.
And
now, you learn the rules along the way.
You know, you want Bill Gates out there. You want Steve Jobs out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
You want Henry Ford's out there. And when I was a kid, you know, my dad built that up. Those people were my heroes.
Icons,
you know,
of mine,
the
for Dale sure.
The Dale Carnegies
yeah.
of the
heroes.
World, the people that, you know, the Rockefellers that created massive amounts of wealth for other people. You know, that's the heart of what this country was built on, and that's going to be the future of our country to get us out of this.
That's what I love about your chapter in wealth creation. I think it's chapter 6 or 5 in the book, is it speaks to the fact that wealth creation has brought the standard of living up for everybody, even the people that weren't part of the mechanism. And that's what we seem to forget, the quality of life that we have. You know, you think about our founding fathers, most of their life expectancies were 70 and 80 years old, which is about what it is today, 200 years ago. What that speaks to me is that wealthy people had a better quality of life. We all have that quality of life today. Yeah. Even a person that's not wealthy.
Well, you know, the easy way to think of that is, you know, a rising tide raises all ships. And that's absolutely true. When you look at the standard of life of an American, even making $20,000 a year, you are living better than the king of England 100 years ago. You have better food. You have better entertainment. You have better health care. You have better, you know, you can go to the library and have more knowledge or just get on the internet for free at a Starbucks. I mean, you have so much prosperity and so much wealth, and there's no spirit of gratitude out there for all the amazing things that we have in this country. And what capitalism does is it raises everybody up.
Well, and I can speak to that because I come from a welfare background. You know, I quit school and ended up getting education in the military. And so you can in this country, you can do that. And it wasn't until I did it that my siblings believed they could.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a vicious cycle, that whole broke thing. It's a broke mentality. It's not, it's. And what's interesting about that, when you come from that whole welfare project background that I came from, the checks are coming from the government, and everybody's complaining more about the government than anybody else. The very hand that's feeding them is the one that they're complaining about. So that's why I'm not very tolerant of this whole victim message. Pull yourself up and just get to work, and you generally get out. But the harder you work, the luckier you generally
get.
Well,
you feel if you feel that you're a victim, then you'll always be a victim.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the sad thing about it. And wealth creation and capitalism allows everybody an opportunity. And one of your opportunities is to be able to invest in structured funds that allow you to access all these different dimensions of markets on a global basis. So even if you're an investor with only $10,000, you can actually allocate part of your portfolio to, you know, to Israel and Taiwan and Thailand and Singapore, Malaysia, Mexico. I mean, you can actually, because there's wealth creation going on over the whole planet, and you don't want to limit yourself just to the United States. And the other thing that does is that spreads entrepreneurism and spreads free markets. And if you look at the global map, what you'll find is that today versus 50 years ago, there's more free markets. There's more capitalism. There's more opportunity, not less. Everybody thinks, well, it's, you know, everything's going communist, socialist.
Look, China's capitalist. Give me a break.
Not true. It's getting better. And I suspect 50 years from now, there'll be even more free markets. So you can actually spread capitalism and free markets on a global basis. No two countries with free markets and capitalism have ever invaded each other. Think about that.
That's interesting.
So as that grows, you have more freedom. You're actually making the world a better place by investing.
Wow, that's an interesting observation, Mark. You know, I think of China, you know, as they're not as communist as they used to be, right?
Nope.
More capitalistic now. But hey, listen, we have one segment left. We're going to take a quick break here. I'm with Mark Mattson, the author of Main Street Money. And we're going to take a quick break and come back and tie this off with just a couple thoughts, a couple nuggets that we can send you on your way. And you can start to look for a Mark special. So this is Paul Nichols, the investor coach with It's Your Money. We'll be right back.